and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, the very first psalm. I have announced for, the past month or so that I had not really had any good direction on where I felt the Lord would have me to go for a series. But this week, I looked at how many psalms I have done and how many psalms I have not done in 30 years. And I have barely scratched the surface. And the psalms are just really, really extraordinary. So we're going to do a series that I am entitling The Majesty of the Psalms. And tonight we're going to start out at Psalm 1. And the title of the message tonight is Psalm 1. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, that you would help us to be blessed by your word and by the majesty of this book. And may you do a work in our hearts that will transcend human understanding. And be blessed, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So let's start out by reading the psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In teachers' meeting, we were talking about looking for imagery in the passage, and there you see in that verse the image of a tree planted by the rivers of water and fruit. A great image that God has given to us to help us understand. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 is wonderful, even profound. It is an introduction to the entire book. These six verses are going to set the tone for the entire book of Psalms. The psalm employs a method of design called parallelism. It is very common in Hebrew poetry. We will point it out to you as we go throughout the book. It emphasizes and contrasts. In this particular passage, it's contrasting the righteous man who walks with God, delights in God's law, verse 2, and the ungodly man in verse 4. You say it's in two parts, contrasting those. The actions of the righteous are presented in the negative form. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not. In other words, in negative form, it's presented, the righteous man is presented as things that he does not do. Blessed is the man that walketh not. So here you've got this blessed man, this godly man, this righteous man, this man that walks with God, and his walk is emphasized in a negative, don't do this. That man does not do that. The actions of the righteous are then followed by a positive affirmation of what they do. The actions of the righteous. The psalm again uses imagery, a tree planted by water, a message of what? A stability. Nourishment. We were in, just a few weeks ago, we were in Michigan. We were down in the basement of Carol's mom's house. And down in the basement, she's got this Cape Cod kind of house. And down in the basement, in the very center, there is a well that goes down. And in there is a sump pump. Michigan, the water table is right about 20 feet. You dig down 20 feet and you'll hit water. Probably not water you should be drinking, but you can hit water. I remember going out to our well and being able to look down and see the water in the well. It's just not very deep. So that's the water table. If you want a good filtration, you might want to dig down 100 feet or so. It'll give it time to filter out all those contaminants. But in that hole, in the middle of the basement, in the middle of the house, I said to Carol's brother, I said, "What is that?" And it's a webbed mess of, what is it? And Tim said, "Well, that's the roots of the tree." He said, "I don't know if it's that tree 20 feet out that side of the house or the tree 20 feet on this side of the house. But those tree roots have gone down into the ground, down below the basement level of the house, gone all the way to the center of the house to find water that sits in that sump pump well." Well, what's in there? I don't know, that much in the bottom. So God uses imagery to say, you plant your, you do right, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And just the stability and the mesh, the ability to get nourishment and be stable is spoken of in this psalm as well. Found in who? The man or woman who lives a life that is devoted to God. Then that person is, verse word, blessed. And again, that's the theme throughout the entire psalm. All the psalms are the same thing. They are going to maintain that constant theme. If you walk with God, you walk by the word of God, you will be blessed. If you do not walk with God, you will not be blessed. Pretty clear. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, the theme of the righteous versus the theme of the wicked man. And there should be a contrast. The psalm begins by describing that blessedness of that righteous person who does not walk in these manners. And that's, again, that negative form. Does not stand in the way of sinners. Does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But how easy it is to become a scorner or to hang around that crowd and then to stand in their way as they want to come to Christ. But they say, and you've heard this said, "I'd come to Christ if it were not for so-and-so, because if he's a Christian, then he's no different than me." Watch, be careful. And of course, then the affirmation, positive affirmation, that's negative. The positive affirmation in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hopefully you're not a person that says, "I cannot understand God's word. It is just too difficult for me." Because think about what is available to the people at this time. He delights in the law of the Lord. 5 books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You find those books difficult, maybe even boring. This is being written that says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that's all they had. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They have the epistles to the... they didn't have the message to the church at Ephesus or Laodicea or... They didn't have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They didn't have Revelation. They had those books. Now, the oldest book put to print, pen to ink, was Job. So they probably had Job and the books of Moses. That's all they had. We have so much more. And we have no excuse. Can you say that your delight is in the law of the Lord? Now, if you're sitting here thinking, "Well, I kind of like God's word. You know, it's kind of nice on Sunday morning." Then you can't claim the first word or the theme of the Psalms, which is what? Blessed. Because if your delight is not in the law of the Lord, you are not blessed. So there's a contrast.
And that contrast is in the wicked. He's like what? The chaff which the wind driveth away. Now that's, again, imagery used. I'm a farmer, so I understand that you get the head of the wheat and you rub that head in your hands and the seeds separate from the husks. How many of you have ever eaten wheat out of the field? You've ever done that? Got rid of the chaff? How many of you have ever done that? Oh, you poor people, you've never lived. You do that. The chaff is not good to eat. It is waste. It is not tasteful. It is not healthy. It is not, I mean, I guess maybe it gives you some fiber. I don't know. Get between your teeth, I'll tell you that for sure. You want to get rid of the husks. So how do you do that? Oh, you're a little kid, and I'm a little kid. Well, I do this as an adult, too. You get that in there, rub them. All the husks are off, and you got to get rid of the chaff. So you do this. And all the husks go away. Then you have seeds. And what do you do then? Now you don't need Tabasco sauce. You just pop them in your mouth and you chew on them. Say, preacher, that sounds nasty. You have not lived. You have not lived. Have you done that? I have done that regularly. It is just neat. And so the ungodly man is... Are you watching the imagery? What is a major theme of the passage? What is God teaching? The ungodly is like the chaff. What is that? Worthless, of no value, of no nutritional value. That the wind. So they would get the threshing floor. You know about that from reading Ruth and Boaz. They get on the threshing floor was a place where the wind would blow through. And they'd take those seeds on some kind of a fabric, and they would toss it up in the air, and the wind that was blowing through would blow the chaff out. Now, if the wind is blowing this direction, the door here, and it's blowing through the flesh threshing floor, you did not want to stand here because you're going to get a mouth of chaff. You would stand on the sides and throw it up, and the chaff would go that way. Now, you go to the field, we have the same thing today. It's mechanized. They don't have a threshing floor. The threshing floor is in the back end of the combine. They have big fans that blow air through the chamber. Here's an interesting question. How many of you have been in the inside chamber of a combine? Oh, you have not lived. I have. It's just a neat place to be. You're in there where that seed gets separated. The wind comes blowing through. If you're watching in a field, Mrs. Bishop and I were driving maybe 2 months ago in the farming communities of Maryland. And we're driving down the road, and I looked over maybe a half a mile ahead and to the right, and I said to Mrs. Bishop, they're harvesting up there. Watch. How could you tell? Because there's a dust storm. And you can see the dust rising in the air from the big fans in that machine pushing the chaff out the rear, and it makes a lot of dust. And it's worthless. That's the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, without substance. Easily, are you listening? Easily carried away by whatever draft, whatever wind happens to be blowing through your neighborhood, through your life, through your workplace. As opposed to the tree that is planted, that is stable, with deep roots. And again, Michigan, we were there just a few weeks ago, Brother O, and it was like 9 degrees out, and the wind was blowing at 42 miles an hour. It's just not a good place to be. But those trees are still standing there. The chaff is long gone. You do not want to be like the chaff which the wind bloweth away. How is that represented in our world today? Well, here's a Michigan guy. His name is Lucas. He's not a dumb guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's an engineering student at the University of Michigan. And he's 19 years of age. Now, your brain is not fully developed till you're 25, so he's missing. He's not running on all his cylinders, but he's not an ignoramus either. But he got carried away by the wind. Frat party. That's what was blowing in his life. And so you can use your imagination to try to figure out what kinds of activities were going on around him that night. And by 1 o'clock in the morning, this 19-year-old decided it was time to leave. Now, it was, I think, 9 degrees below zero. Nine degrees below zero is really cool. I mean, how many of you have experienced 9 degrees below zero? Okay, all right. I kind of like below zero. I mean, you probably wouldn't, Brazil people, but at 9 below zero, when you breathe in through your nose freezes. It's like inside your nose. It's just a really cool feeling. You should experience it once in your lifetime, just to see. So here's this 19-year-old at a frat party at 1 o'clock in the morning, blowing, taking part in the breezes that just happened to be blowing through, and he thought it would be good to go for a walk in his jeans and a t-shirt. Now, they searched for him for several hours before they found his body. He did not live. Now, he's young, had a great heart, had a positive future. But that's the life of the chaff. That is not what you want to do. Sunday morning, 6 something, approaching 7 o'clock, I'm going to walk from home a mile south of here to here. Now, it's not 9 degrees below zero, but I had on boots, I had on ski bibs, I had on a hat or a coat, I had ski goggles on, I had a barca on, and a hat over top of that, and a hat over top of that, and gloves, and walked to church. And that was like, I don't know, 20 degrees. So lower the temperature another 30 degrees and you're out there in jeans and a t-shirt. I don't know how long, you can talk to Brother Oldenburg, how long you can live like that. Probably minutes before he succumbed to the temps and he died. That is not how I want to be remembered. He did not end well. But the righteous man delights in God's law. The righteous man delights in the law of God and he meditates on it. Again, everybody likes the first word. I'm blessed because I'm a Christian. No. The blessed man is a man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, that walketh not in the way of sinner, and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man is the man that delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you meditate on God's law day and night? If you want to be blessed, you will. If you are not, then you are not blessed. You can be, and you should be, and God wants you to be. God's word nourishes and strengthens the life of the believer. Say, church, I want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season. Then that's a blessed man. But you've got to delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You've got to meditate. In his law does he meditate day and night. Bible, a powerful. Again, this theme is all the way through the book of Psalms. You go to Psalm 119 and you'll hear a commandment, a law, over and over and over again. And God emphasizes that. If you want to thrive and be blessed, those are all things. But it goes back to the very first word. You want to be blessed. Those are things that you're going to incorporate in your life. It's a necessity to strengthen your life, strengthen the life of the believer. There is also fruitfulness that comes from being rooted in the teachings of God's Word. I had a missionary in recently, and he talked about abiding. abiding in the vine. Do you abide in the vine? If you do, you'll bear fruit. Say, preacher, I'm not bearing fruit. And you say, I'm not abiding in the vine. The two go together. A tree planted yields fruit in season, does not wither in the drought. Why? Because those roots go way down halfway across the house and have found a well. Again, a little cavity where the water sits and comes down and sits down there. And you say, well, I'm in a time of drought. You know, I think the preacher's doing a very good job. If you're a blessed man, you delight in the law of God, you'll find that water supply, even if the guy behind the pulpit isn't doing a really good job. There have been times that I've been in the service. I could not tell you who the preacher was. But I can tell you just by the reading of God's word that I came under conviction. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within and he's going to take care of business. And I don't know what the preacher said, but God spoke to me. Not from what the preacher said, from God's word. God will speak to you from his word. And you should dwell, delight in that. Not run from it. Oh, that preacher, he plowed down my road today. Preacher, you stepped on my toes. Should say, thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. A lot of foolish people out in the world. China, they're home. China is home to the largest population of wild snow leopards in the world. A young adult female skier, on top of the mountain, looked over and saw a snow leopard laying very docile. And she thought, what a wonderful opportunity for a picture. And so she got close and closer and closer. And as she lifted up her phone to get her selfie, the snow leopard said, lunch, and jumped on her and mauled her, and the other skiers came over to her aid and scared the animal away, and it wasn't afraid. It didn't go too far. It said, man, if they leave her, I'm having lunch. They got her up. She was mangled pretty badly in the face. It's a good thing she had a face mask on. Very cold up there in the mountains. She would have been hurt worse than she was. What is that? That is not wise. So in the Christian realm, you look at somebody and you go, they are not wise. They are not blessed. They're Christian. They know Christ. They're on their way to heaven. But why not? Because it's not enough to say, I'm a Christian. I'm blessed. Got the negatives. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The negative, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Got the negative, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, and then the positive. Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Are you meditating in God's law day and night? If you want to be blessed. A lot of Christians do foolish things because, now they're saved, they're on the way to heaven, but just because they are in partaking, imbibing in things that do not correspond, are not found in the man or woman who is blessed of God. And what does that tell us? Listen, welcome to life. You get to make a choice. And there are choices. But as I have said many times, you do have the ability to make choices. But you do not control the consequences. This contrast, this parallelism, emphasizes the contrast again between the righteous man and the wicked man. And as we're coming to the conclusion, verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And we know from Matthew that the wheat, there the enemy came at night and sowed tares in the field. Right? There are people in church on Sunday morning that are not saved. They do not know Christ as their Savior at all. They're here. And at the end of this psalm, it tells us that there will come a day when those people will not sit in the congregation of the righteous. Right now they do. But that day is coming. But again, that stark contrast, those two outcomes. They may sit in church on Sunday morning, but there will come a day when they will not sit in the congregation of the righteous. They will not. God will root them out. Many a teenager has shown their naivety as they have declared they get to be 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age, and they look at mom and dad who have brought them to church and tried to sow the good seed in their life, and they'll say, I can't wait till I get out of here because I'm going to go on. I'm going to experience some different paths. No, you're not. You're going to experience the other path. Because there are only two. You're going to walk with God and be the blessed man, or you're going to walk with the wicked and be an ungodly man. There's only two paths. And again, you can make those choices, but you cannot negate the consequences. They think they are choosing a different path as if there are 1,000. No, there are only two. There are only two. They are choosing the other path. And you don't be afraid to say that to them. Oh, you're choosing the other path. No, I'm just choosing a different path. No, you're choosing the other path because there are only two. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, verse 6. But the way of the ungodly, again, shall is a legal term, a very powerful word. Shall perish. Not might, not may, not possibly, but shall. It requires certain, definitive action by the judge or law enforcement officer. There is no ambiguity. There is no choice. People say, well, who cares really, God, if he really is, and why? Because shall is a legal term, and he's required, and he'll do that. These paths, the paths of the wicked, this other path leads to destruction, and there are eternal consequences. The way of the ungodly shall perish. And so what? It is important to align your life in accordance with God's word. There are some Navy sailors in the news. Alan, if you're out there, I thought of you. And not because you're a Navy sailor, but not in regards to what's going on. They're in the Florida region, and there's a big investigation going on right now. Guys and girls, they're marrying Chinese nationals. They're sham marriages so that these gals and guys and gals from China can get green cards. And typically, the marriage lasts for one day, and then they get divorced. So that person, and they're getting access to the bases. Chinese, and they are not our friend. I'll just say that. They're not our friend. They want to destroy us, and they'll go to whatever length. I just say, hey, guys, are you listening to me? There's a beautiful woman that comes up to you and says, oh, will you marry me? You should know that she's a spy. I mean, you should just know that because you are not good looking. And why would a beautiful woman want to be with you? And she wouldn't. They're offering money. How much? For a day. I give you $10,000 up front, $45,000 when the marriage is completed. And they're targeting them on purpose with malice aforethought. Why are they doing that? Because they're ungodly. They've chosen the other path. They easily succumb. But if you're the blessed, you're the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but you delight in the law of the Lord, you are not going to get caught up into that foolishness. Because you're going to say, that's the other path. I don't walk there. I don't walk there. But you must choose the path of righteousness or the path of wickedness. And you are encouraged to choose. And consider the long-term consequences. Because as a Christian, Psalm 1 and through all the Psalms, you are called to a deeper, more fulfilling commitment to spiritual growth. Walk with God. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that this psalm and the other psalms that follow will be a blessing and encouragement to us and motivate us and challenge us to walk with you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.